Ephesians 4, and we'll look at three passages today. So, the importance of, because we are not doing this. We have a different slide, but that's okay. We're still talking about take it personally. We've got a couple more weeks. We're talking about personal discipleship, and you and I having a part in that. So what are some of the importance ofs that we've talked about? We talked about the importance of compassion. Everybody remember that? The importance of compassion. You and I making a life in the difference of others. Jude said, and of some have compassion, making a difference. So it's important that we have compassion. What else did we talk about? The importance of hospitality. The importance of hospitality. Then we talked about the importance of friendship. We talked about the importance of friendship. Then we talked about the importance of... Boys, you all came ready today. This is making me have a lot more energy to get started here. That's awesome. Importance of, what was it? Attendance. The importance of attendance and how significant that can be. And then last week we talked about the importance of, it wasn't fellowship, it was serving. The importance of serving. And we talked about every person having a part. And so I want to look at that in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter number 4. So if you're there with me, we're going to talk. This is part 2 about the importance of serving. It says, wherefore he saith, I'm in verse 8 in Ephesians 4. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave, what does it say? Gifts. He gave gifts unto men. Now, if you're going to take notes this morning, I want to teach something this morning that there are three types of gifts that have been given to the church. All those gifts are for one purpose, and I'll get to the purpose in just a moment. So how many types of gifts?
Three.
Now, there are many gifts, but there are three categories that I'm going to use this morning. Three categories of gifts, many, many gifts under them. We're going to look in, just to know where we're headed, we're going to look in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to then go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to go to Romans chapter 12. So all three of those passages to look at three types of gifts or giftings. But who gave the gifts? Well, the Lord Jesus did. And it says that he gave gifts unto men. Verse 9, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended, first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he, what's it say?
Gave.
I want us to think about that. In serving is often about what? It's going to be often about giving. And who is the greatest giver? Well, it's the Lord. He gave and gave and gave. Do you remember last week we talked about things that hold us back from serving and people that completely give of themselves? It was said of one group of people in the New Testament that they were addicted to the ministry of the saints, which is just an amazing thing to think about, that choice of words. They were addicted to the ministry of the saints. That's what their life was about. They weren't necessarily pastors or missionaries, but their life was described by people who were servants of the Lord. That was their life. So, he says now, he gave, verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, what's the first word in verse 12? So it's a purpose statement, right? There's a purpose for the giving of the gifts. And in each statement, in each passage that we're going to go to, that purpose is going to be on display. He gave for the, go ahead, what's the first thing? He gave for the perfecting of the saints. Then he gave for the work of the ministry. And then for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the perfecting of the saints. I think we understand that you and I are never going to be perfect as it relates to our sin nature and our obedience to the Lord. None of us are going to be perfect, right? Right. So what is this idea of perfection talking about? Some of you probably know, others may not know. Yeah, the word perfection has the idea of completion or maturity. Are any of us going to be perfectly complete? No. The idea of the perfecting is that is the goal. That is where we're all headed. Actually, that was really, I guess, a trick question. I didn't even realize it. Are any of us going to be complete and finished and perfect? Well, yes. Just, yeah, in the end. But sometimes we think of this idea that well, okay, so once I'm dead, then that glorification happens and I'm complete. And that is true. Nonetheless, we are supposed to endeavor toward that while we live, right? So, and that's the idea here. But in order for all of the saints to be complete, there had to be given gifts to men. And these gifts were given for others to serve so that the church would be perfected, so that the work of the ministry would be done. How many of you know ministry is work? Anybody been involved in serving the Lord? It takes a measure of work and effort and sweat and time and labor and money that has to go into the work of the ministry. And then that last thing in verse 12 was for what? Edifying. We talked about that last week. What does that mean? It literally means, who can remember what the word literally means? That's true. This is true. It means to build up. There's a literal. I talked about the Greek word a little bit, the yogurt, if you remember that too. We mentioned that. Build up is an accurate definition of the word. But if you were to say it literally, it's to what? Anybody remember? I think somebody remembers. Nobody? Breaking my heart. Okay? It's the Greek word. Does anybody remember the yogurt?
Brave.
No. Hang on. You're getting ahead of me. Okay? You remember that? There's a yogurt brand that uses the same Greek word. Well, okay. I knew somebody would remember something. Okay? What is it? Oikos or oikos. All right? It's oikos. You've seen that yogurt? I have no... that. Other than to say it's yogurt, it has nothing to do with what the word means. Because who knows what the word actually means? Yes, it means house. It means house. Why yogurt is called house, I don't know. But it's because none of us speak Greek, so they just put a cool word on there to sell it to us. It means house. So if edify, it literally means to what? To build the house. Could we all say that together? It means to build the house. All right, I don't think we'll forget that one now. Because oikos is house, and we are the house of God. So the work of the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying, the building of the house, which is the body of Christ. It's got to be built up. And you and I have to take that personally. Now I want you to skip down here to verse number 16. We talked about this too. From whom, that's speaking of Jesus, from whom the, what's it say? Whole body fitly joined together. He had a plan when he put it together. Fitly joined together and compacted. Like, I love the picture there. It's fitly joined. It's compacted. It's tight. There's nothing missing. He's given us everything. He's given the church everything that it needs. But what happens? What has to happen? It's fitly joined and compacted by what? Yeah, by that which every joint supplieth. So that means if every joint isn't supplying, is it fitly joined and compacted? It's not. There's holes, there's gaps, there's things that are missing. When each person is not supplying what they've been called to supply, the whole body suffers. According to the effectual, what's it say? Working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Every part supplying, every part having its place. Would you pray with me, and then we'll study some more. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this opportunity to study the Bible. I pray that you'd help us to be others-focused Help us to seek to find opportunities to serve. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. As aforementioned and promised, those that were here last week, I mentioned that I was going to hand something out today, something that we've been talking about and finally put together. And it has the purpose of helping each part, each joint, supplying the part that it's been called to supply. And so what we've done here, and we're going to promote this probably for the next 3 weeks, is the Mount Greylock Baptist Church Serve Others Ministry Guide. I want to give a copy of this to everyone. Everybody's going to get one in their bulletin today too. But there should be one for every person, not just families, but one for every person. And I'm sorry, I forgot to do this. Cal, would you do me a favor and give these to Aaron downstairs so he's got some for the youth group as well. You go. As I'm handing this out, as we were talking about this, as I was putting it together, as we put down some of these ministry opportunities, it was encouraging to think about how many people are already involved in supplying, as the scriptures talk about. So I'm going to finish handing these out. 2 and 3. Okay. All right, this isn't necessarily something, this is actually not something for you to fill out right now, but I wanted to just share this with you. And our prayer and our hope, and I know it's the desire of the Lord, is that every believer, every Christian, every part of our church has an active place of service. And so one of the things that we want to do with this is give people an opportunity to get involved as quickly as possible. So you'll notice on here, and I'll just very quickly explain how this is laid out for you. As you look at these different things, we've kind of identified 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 basic like ministry teams, things that have to be accomplished for the work of the ministry to be done. Now, what we want to encourage everyone to do is to take a look at this prayerfully, and you'll look at this list, and there will be things on here that you're already that some of you are already doing, which is awesome. And I would encourage you, if there's something, what we want to do is we want to collect these from everyone so that we can organize and let people know where there's a place to fit in. Now, anything that you'll see there, when somebody checks off one of these things, what they're saying is, I'd like to learn about how I could possibly serve in this area. I'd like to learn about how I can have a part in this area. By checking off one of these things, you're not signed, sealed, committing your life to do anything on here. This is just a way for us to have conversations with people that say, hey, I didn't even know that was a need. I could have a part in that. I could do this. So, for instance, we've got our hospitality team. That's everything from helping with parking, which we had going for a while, actually. We had people helping with parking, and it makes a difference. But that has kind of fallen away a little bit, so we're looking to get back at that. Parking attendant, greeters, ushers. So if you're already doing something like that, go ahead and check it off anyway. Don't resign on this piece of paper, right? Just go ahead and check it off anyway. There are some things on here that require a bigger commitment than others. Some things are an hour a week. Some things are an hour a month. There's opportunities to do simple things. If you notice on the bottom of the front page, someone who would be willing to come in and fold the bulletins, insert the outlines, get all those things ready. Somebody that would be willing to change out all the missions letters that are in the hallway in the back of the church. That gets done every week or every 2 weeks? Yeah, every couple of weeks to change out those mission letters out there. On the back, there's opportunities to help maintain the building, to clean the building. We have people that clean the building, different areas of the building on a weekly basis. But then we were thinking about it. There are other things that people say, you know what, I probably couldn't do it weekly, but I could come in and do something every month that needs to be done. And I'm not going to, there are basically, each area on here can be broken out into many different opportunities and areas of service. So I'd encourage you to do this. When you have time and you can prayerfully look over all of this, I would encourage you to check off as many things as you say, you know what, I'd be willing to do that. I'd be willing to do that. So what will happen? We could have, even if it's a simple thing that says, oh, I'm sure somebody else will be able to do that, check it off anyway. Because what would happen is if we had 20 people that all signed up to clean weekly, well, we wouldn't have all 20 people do that. But it would be good to know who said that they would be available. And by checking multiple things, that'll give different ways for us as the leaders to say, hey, this would be a good place, that would be a good place, and we'd be able to organize it and you'd be able to get involved. There are a couple of immediate needs that we have, and I'd like to just share this with everybody right now. One of the immediate needs that we have, if you look down toward the bottom of the, or look right in the middle of the page under the kids' ministries, we could use nursery workers. That's for ladies. We could use nursery workers. So the more people that volunteer to do that, then what happens is the less the people that do it have to be out of the service. The other thing that we can use immediately is on the next category down in our outreach ministries, we need somebody who'd be willing to drive a van on Wednesday nights as we pick up kids for our Climbers Club or our youth group. Somebody that'd say, you know what, I would drive a van route on Wednesday night. Because right now, the only one who could drive that van on Wednesday night is his pastor. He was the one doing it last year, but that's not ideal. So lots of different opportunities. Look over this. We'll be talking about it and collecting these for the next several weeks. Does anybody have a question at all? Sure. Right. That's perfect. Absolutely. That's perfect. And don't look at anything on here and feel like, well, I don't know. I don't know if I'd be qualified to do that. I don't know if I'd be qualified to do this. If you'd like to know about it, again, you're not committing to it. You're just saying, I'd like to talk with somebody about how I could be involved in this, how I can be involved in that area. And check off as many as you'd be willing to have a part in. And as we know, the Bible says, as we just read, that the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. And obviously, there are things, there are spiritual ministries that we've been talking about for the last few weeks that you can't put on a list, right? The things that we talked about, like being a hospitable person and being someone who is a friend to someone else, those aren't things that can be quantified on a list, but each of us has that part as we attend and minister to one another. All right, so pray about that too. Pray that others will get involved, that others will see the burden and will be a part of that. All right, so I said this morning we're going to say there are how many categories of gifts that we are to use to serve? How many? In the Bible there are three. Not necessarily that we are called to, but that the Lord has used to establish his church. We already looked at the first group, and I'll give that to you really quickly. Go ahead to chapter 4 again in Ephesians. He says in verse number 11, he gave some what? I'm in chapter 4 of Ephesians 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. The first grouping of gifts that you learn about in the Bible are the gifts of leadership or the offices to the church. And you're talking about, the Bible says that the church was built on Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, but it was built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. So in this reference, speaking of the apostles and the prophets, these were the people that were specifically called to give us the word of God and to establish the church, the 12 apostles and the prophetic ministry that was given early in the church. But then those gifts of leadership continue in the form of evangelists, those that spread the gospel throughout the world. I personally believe that the evangelist really there is referring to someone like a missionary, someone who goes out and spreads the gospel to others and plants churches and sees souls saved. And then pastors and teachers. So the first group that you see in the New Testament are gifts of leadership, gifts of the offices within to establish the church. Now, go to 1 Corinthians. I'll give you the second group in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The second grouping of gifts, and this isn't the only place you find it, but if the first grouping are gifts of leadership, the second grouping are the sign gifts. S-I-G-N, as in sign, as in a miraculous gift. They're sometimes referred to as sign gifts, also referred to as miraculous gifts. Now, what was that? Okay. I will go down to verse number 27 of chapter 12. Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Well, what could be better than having all of those powerful abilities? You tell me. Yeah, charity. You'd have to read ahead to the next chapter. Love. In fact, then he says in verse... number 2, or verse 1 of chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, have not charity, that's love, agape love, I am become a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal, though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, knowledge, though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And he talks about the importance of that. Now, I could say a lot. We could teach several lessons on sign gifts. Just so you know, the Bible says that the Jews require a sign, the Gentiles seek after knowledge, but we preach Christ. So you'll see in the New Testament, particularly in the book of Acts, there were powerful displays of miracles and of signs and of wonders. The purpose for that was to validate the message that the apostles were preaching. When the apostles began to go around and preach about Jesus and the resurrection from the dead, they didn't even have a New Testament written down. You realize that, right? When Paul and Peter and the other apostles were preaching, they were reading from the Old Testament, and they were saying that Jesus is the fulfillment of all those prophecies. And the Lord gave them supernatural abilities to validate the message that they were giving. And so as they preached, there would be signs and wonders that were done, and many of that continued. It's interesting to note that in First Corinthians, in the church in Corinth, there was an abuse of these gifts. And that is why the apostle actually had to correct a lot of abuse of that. Go ahead. You're going to... Correct.
The life of the apostles. And the apostolic office is no longer in existence. In order to be an apostle, you had to have seen Jesus Christ in person.
Right. So the gifts were given during the apostolic age as the church was established. And there are many of the cults have arisen because they've tried to carry on the apostolic office. So you have in the Roman Catholic Church, the apostles, the apostolic office now belongs supposedly to whom? To the Pope. In the Mormon Church, the apostolic office belongs to like the 12 the elders, I forget what they, or presidents that they call them in Salt Lake City. And every cult has tried to appropriate the apostolic office so that they could have authority over people. But so the point is this, these sign gifts were given to at the early stages of the church. If you study church history, after the death of the apostles, you have many famous church fathers whose writings we read. People like Tertullian and others who were preachers. Some of them knew the apostles, and they continued the ministry after the death of the apostles. Well, in church history, there is no continuation of those gifts. The church obviously did not continue to do that until, and I say until in air quotes, until the turn of the 20th century, in the 1900s. An entire movement arose, Pentecostalism and the charismatic movement. Historically, that whole movement arose to try to recreate what had happened with the apostles in the book of Acts. And all you have to do is, and while there were many kind and sincere people who were part of that movement, all you have to do is, in the last 40 years, trace the history of the televangelists and the Benny Hinns and the Rod Parsleys of the world to see all of the just grotesqueness that has taken place in the name of supposed miracles. And I don't have time to talk about all of that, other than to say that there is a grouping of gifts that are explained to us in the New Testament that were for the purpose of signs and wonders. Though those gifts, as we understand, have ceased to this day. Particularly, I would talk more about the gift of tongues, but I can't do that, other than to say that what people call the gift of tongues today is not what tongues was in the New Testament. And we've done lessons on that. I'd love to talk with anyone about that. So there are three types of gifts. The first are what kinds of gifts? Second are sign gifts. But you'll notice within 1 Corinthians here, he didn't just mention sign gifts either. Because he said that there were, in verse 28, he mentions apostles. That's gone. No more apostles today. How about this? Do we have the gift of the apostle today? Well, sure we do. Because, and that was a trick question, so I set you up. Oh, sure we do. It's already been given, and we're continuing to enjoy it today. In fact, we're reading it right now. It's the gift of the apostle. It continues to benefit us today. So there's different ways of understanding that. We don't have to try to recreate something. But you'll also notice that there are teachers in there. You'll also say helps and governments. So there are many different gifts. Now, what I'd like you to do is back up now and look at another purpose kind of statement here. He says in verse number 15, if the foot shall say, or verse 14, for the body is not one member but many. And you may have seen this before where he talks about the foot and the hand, the eye, the ear. And he talks about verse 18, God set everyone in the body as it hath pleased him. If they were all one member, where were the body? But now there are many members, but one body. And I always love this passage that's coming. Look at verse 22. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more what? Are necessary. And then he talks about comely parts and uncomely parts and how, and the whole point of the passage is this. There are things that seem insignificant, yet they are absolutely vital. Right? You don't see it. As you look at a human body, there are beautiful, attractive features to the human body. Right? Many. And those are the things that people are pleased with and enjoy. But there are some very uncomely, very unattractive things about the human body that are very, very essential. No one says, Have you taken a look at my carotid artery recently? Check that baby out. A lot of blood pumping through there. But boy, you talk about abundant honor and protection that has to be given to it. That's the whole point here. And the thinking of the human body is the organs and the things that people don't think are significant. Maybe they're behind the scenes, so to speak. Yet they're absolutely essential and important. And so whether it's a ministry that someone sees visibly or something that no one knows about, the part that you have, the place that you've been put in, is significant. So now there's a third group. Go to Romans chapter number 12. And with this, we're going to end this morning. And this is going to be part number 3. We got started late today. We'll talk about this next week. But the third gift you're going to see in verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have, what's it say, many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. And now look at verse 6 and just read these first 4 words with me. Ready? Having then gifts differing. And what he's going to do here is explain what I'm calling the third grouping of gifts, and these are the gifts of ministry. These are the gifts that pertain the most of all to how you and I are going to be able to serve one another. Is it the complete list? No, it's not. But there's a great grouping of spiritual gifts for service, for ministry, that are given in the following verses. So what I'd encourage you to do is next week, come prepared to talk about these. And we'll spend some time looking at those spiritual gifts that are given as gifts of ministry. So, we said, first of all, there are gifts of what? Leadership. Then gifts that are what kind? Sign gifts. And now gifts of? And that's what we'll talk about next week. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you that we've had the opportunity to look at your word this morning. I just ask that you'd help us each to desire to serve one another. And we pray now that you'd bless our worship service today. Help it to lift up and magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.